Hey guys, hope you are having a wonderful day or evening or night. Whenever you're listening to this podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I welcome Matthew Hoffman, and Matthew is a national speaker and author of The Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Success. And he is a fulfilled and successful husband who leads men and women from selfishness and unfulfillment to satisfaction and love in their marriages. And today, Matthew and I talk about the three C's of commitment, communication, and conflict resolution. And we spend a fair amount of time on commitment at the start, which I really enjoyed because we haven't really talked about it a lot on this show. And Matthew has some really interesting insights and valuable tips as far as thinking about commitment, whether you're in a long-term committed relationship and questioning yourself and maybe your commitment is waning, or you're single and dating, and how to think about commitment in the conversations you need to have around that. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in, for leaving those reviews on iTunes and Spotify. And yeah, we really appreciate you guys. Enjoy today's show. Hi, Matthew. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Today, we're going to talk about the three C's that you like to focus on in the work that you do. So why don't we start by having you tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, your podcast, the work that you do with couples, why you enjoy doing that, and then we'll dive in to the three C's.
Sounds great. My pleasure. Yeah, my wife and I started the Kick-Ass Couples podcast. That was kind of the first thing that came out of the gate about a year and a half ago. And she and I get to do it together. That's probably the best part of it, is I get to do it with my wife. And so it's really brought us close together and given us a great opportunity to learn and apply an awful lot. We talk to couples from all stages of relationships, some that are not married or considering marriage. Some of them have been married 5, 10 years. I think the record for the couple that's been married the longest that we spoke to is 62 years. And it was a great interview because you would think someone that's been married that long would be super old school, but they were super progressive, and just beautiful things came out of that. And so we have the podcast. And then after that podcast started, I came out with my first book, which is Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. And it's kind of a handbook for men and women that want to really learn what they can do tactically to work on their relationship. And that really sprouted Kick-Ass Couples Nation, which is a place where we help couples deepen and strengthen their number one human relationship by learning how to prioritize. And we think that's kind of what's unique about what we do. So we solve the problem of ignorance, and the people that we want to work with are imperfect couples that want to level up and get better. And that's kind of why we have the podcast and our membership and have written the books that we've done.
Yeah, no one is perfect. And that's why we're all here, you know, trying to get this information to continue to grow and live better lives. And like you said, you know, work on that number one relationship, whether we're married, single even, or dating. There's so many tools and things to think about to relate better. And then eventually, and through that, live a better life. So it's beautiful work. I love getting this information, having conversations with people like yourself. And we're going to talk about the three C's. It's part of your curriculum that you focus on with couples. And you and I talked about in the pre-show, starting with commitment. And that's something we haven't talked a lot about on this show. So how do you think about commitment, and why do you think it's so important in helping couples?
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's our first C, and definitely the most important. If you think in building, you think of a cornerstone, right? And you set the cornerstone and it really dictates how everything else goes. Or if you think of it foundationally, if you don't have a commitment, a foundation of commitment in your relationship, then it really makes everything else have a big question on it. If you're coming into a marriage or even a relationship, could be dating, thinking, gosh, you know, if this doesn't work out, I'll just do something else. Or if I don't like how it feels, I'll hit eject. And I think that when you've got conditional or variable commitment in a relationship, it's really difficult to make progress. And I think, so before you come in and, you know, things that would define commitment is like no plan B, right? It's not, well, I'll stay here until, or I'll stay here if. Another thing that John Gottman, who's a great relationship guru, the Gottman Institute, talks about the house. You know, there can't be any open doors or windows, meaning I'm in it, but there's plenty of opportunities for me to slide out and do something else if it doesn't work out. And kind of my favorite analogy, Chase, about commitment is if you think about a trapeze artist, right? When they're up there doing their stuff, if there was no net underneath them, they probably wouldn't get too crazy in what they did and maybe wouldn't even be up there at all, because if they make a mistake, right, it's death or pretty severe injury. So I like to think of commitment in a relationship as like that net. So if I've got a net, I know I can try something, or if I make a mistake, it's not relationship ending or life ending. I feel a lot more confident and comfortable in the relationship because I know there's commitment there. And the way you get that net there is by unilateral, bilateral commitment, where you and your spouse, your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend both say, I'm dedicated to this. Nothing is more important. And I'm going to prioritize you in this relationship above every other human relationship. And I think once you get that safety net, then you're able to feel good about commitment, and it allows you to comfortably go forward and proceed and work. And there's so many, as you know, so many other qualities. We have at least 13 others, right, in our pillars that you can work on. So commitment gives you freedom. It's not, commitment is not restrictive. It doesn't mean, man, I can't, all the things I can't do, but it's freeing. Because if I know and feel comfortable that my partner's committed to me, it allows me to relax and to work on the relationship without a sense of fear.
Early on in a relationship, let's say someone dating, obviously we're going to be getting to know each other and not being like, hey, I'm committed to you no matter what, I'm in it. It's like, you know, we're feeling it out. We're getting to know this person, their values, where they stand. But then there will be a moment where we're deciding, hey, I really like this person and I want to have a deeper level of commitment, connection, intimacy. And obviously there's a lot to unpack there in those early stages, but how do you think about that stage in a sense of someone getting to know a person? You know, it could be even 6 months in, a year in. It takes a while to really know someone. How do you think about commitment, and how would you advise someone around commitment in the earlier stages of a relationship?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, you're right. It's not just day one switch on, hey, I'm committed, right? Because you got to get to know the person and the love and the likes and the dislikes. And two, I think, important things to know about commitment. The first one is, if you want to know how someone is committed or how they express commitment, I always say, look at the little things. You know, how do they treat their family? Their mom, their dad, their siblings? How do they treat their coworkers? How do they, and that's how they talk about them, right? How do they talk about their bosses? You know, how do they talk about other people? And even if you're out to dinner with them, how do they treat the server, you know, or the manager, or if they're in the grocery store line? So if you watch how they treat and react to people that they aren't invested and committed with, it is a really good indicator of how they're going to be with you. And, you know, you've probably heard the saying, faithful over the little things, faithful over the great. So when someone treats people that they have no reason to treat well, when they treat them really well, it means they respect them and they're looking for the value they have in them. That's somebody who's going to probably be pretty good at effectively demonstrating commitment, because they're showing their commitment to someone over little things that really don't matter, have an impact on them. And that shows their character. The second thing I'd say about commitment, and what I would always encourage couples who are dating, or even if you're considering marriage or if you're not, is to find out what commitment looked like to them when they were growing up. In other words, what did they see modeled in their home, parents, one parent, grandparents, whoever raised them, and get them to share what commitment looks like to them, because that's what they're going to bring forward into the relationship. What's modeled to people will shape them, whether they say, I'm going to adopt that system because it's what I saw and I believe in it, or, oh my gosh, it was a train wreck when I was growing up and I'm not going to do anything like that at all. So having those conversations of what love looked like and what commitment looked like allows you to have open conversations and understand where somebody's coming from and build that relation and make sure you're comfortable with how they model commitment. And, you know, that's, so those are two things I would say that you can talk at any stage in a relationship, hopefully before you think about coming committed or serious or marriage, for sure.
So let's say we're progressing in the relationship. They're checking all those boxes that was so valuable, that rundown you gave. And we want to have a conversation, and this will probably bleed into another C of communication, but we want to have a conversation about like, hey, you know, I'm really enjoying getting to know you and what we have here. What does that conversation look like around like, hey, I want to have a deeper level of commitment and expressing that? How would you encourage someone to approach that conversation and have it? I mean, some people won't even, you know, it's scary to even have that conversation.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of fear, right? What if they don't feel the same way I do? What if they reject me? What if they don't want to have what I have? What if they're like, commitment, man, this is, it is what it is. And that's all you're going to get, right? So there's a lot of fear. And, you know, it's interesting. We all have fear about conversations, but, and we don't have them. And it's the conversations that we've never had, but should have, that have the biggest impact on a relationship, right? Like, because we're concerned about what might be. And I think anytime you're having the couple things I throw out and would ask people to consider is, don't blindside your partner or your boyfriend, girlfriend, your potential spouse, your fiance, and say, hey, I want to talk about something really serious right now. Because if they're not in the mood and they're not ready after a long day of work or late at night and they're not a nighttime person or early in the morning and they're not a morning person, I would say, you know what? I'd say, hey, so-and-so, I'd really like to have a kind of a deep conversation with you about our relationship and some things I've been thinking about. When would you be open to that? Or what would be the best time for us to do it? It's not at a date in a loud restaurant, right? Maybe it's on a walk. Maybe it's sitting down. Maybe it's in their territory, so they're feeling secure, their home, right? Or in a neutral place in nature. So one thing is preface the conversation so that when you have it, they're ready to receive it. And not that they should be fearful about it, but, oh, this is important and I want to make sure we give the time we need. And then the second thing, when you're having that communication about something serious, you can really talk in terms of I statements are best. I feel, I think, I've noticed, it's important to me. I would like to share with you how I feel. And I think that by taking that first step and putting yourself out there and being vulnerable, you're really opening yourself up. And it's good for a lot of reasons, because when you're vulnerable and open up, are they treating you tenderly and gently, and they're respecting that? And hopefully that'll make it safe and easy for them to come out and share those emotions and how they feel. You know, I'm desirous of a deeper relationship. I really would feel comfortable and love to say I'd like to be exclusive with you because I love what I'm seeing and I want to go deeper in our relationship. What does that sound like to you? And, you know, open leading questions are great. Not, I feel this way, do you? Right? Yes, no questions are dangerous because you don't get somebody talking and you don't get information. But you can say, I feel, how do you feel about this? What are your thoughts on this? Where do you see this relationship going? Or how would you like to take it to the next level? Would you, right? So those are some of the things I would say about frame the conversation, give yourself a great time. And then it's not you, do you, will you, how are you, but it's I. And then being quiet. Don't be afraid of the silence, because that's when great things can happen and can marinate. And, you know, they may say, I'm not ready to talk about this right now. It's not a place I want to go. Okay. Right. Then you can say, well, it's important to me. And then you've got a decision to make. Wow. You know, I'm feeling ready to go to the next stage and the next level, and they're not. So maybe they eventually will, or maybe they never will. And either way, you can't lose by being vulnerable and sharing your true emotion in yourself. Because when you're vulnerable in your communication, that's when you give the opportunity to have deep bonds and connect and secure attachment. Secure attachment to somebody never happens at arm's length. And when you're not being vulnerable or real, and if you want vulnerability out of somebody, you got to give it. So I think starting with that vulnerability is key to have a really deep and meaningful conversation.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach, integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estro Control. Relationship Advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estro Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's Happy Mammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order.
How do you think about commitment in a longer-term relationship? So let's say a couple's been together for 5-10 years and they've felt committed in the past, but it's going to wane. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to, but I imagine, you know, I've been in a situation where it changes, you know, and you start to question things or feel off. How do you think about it in that context?
Sure. Well, what's interesting, I mean, I'll be real transparent here. My wife and I have been married 28 years, and it's not always been honeymoon hot. It's not always rainbows and sunshine. In fact, 5-6 years ago, I would say that we were, you know, I kind of see relationships in three stages. One, you're thriving, right? Trajectory is up, you're climbing, you know, blue skies, things are great. The second is maintaining, like think of treading water, right? You're not sinking, but you're not swimming and going anywhere. And then the third is declining. struggling or DOA, like, man, I don't think I can revive this thing. And we were in that treading water stage, that maintaining, because we had made so many commitments outside of the relationship that seemed right. We talked about this in a recent podcast about relationships. And, you know, we were committed to our churches. We were committed to schools, our friends, community organizations, and we were really giving each other our leftovers. And we weren't, our commitment to each other had changed, and we both were not completely happy. And so we had to get together and retool and say, are you happy with where things are? You know, things change. And the truth of the matter, most relationships don't fail by, infidelity, obviously, yes, that could happen. Abuse, physical or mental abuse, you know, breaking the law. Those things are breakaways. Wow, trauma, right? But most relationships, it's a slow fade. And, you know, you slowly, I'm going to spend more time with my friends, or maybe there's a coworker who's giving me more attention than my partner is, or somebody outside there, right? And so you slowly diverge. You know, I think a great analogy I use in my book, if you're traveling from LA to New York, right, and you've got a bearing, stay on this bearing and you're going to arrive, right? Easy. But if I change my bearing by 1 degree, instead of 230 degrees, I'm going 231. By the time I get to New York, I'll be 40 miles away from my destination, where I want to be. And I'll be like, well, shoot, how did I end up here? It's just the little things along the way that happens. So you're right. Commitment changes because life changes. And I think you've got to have strong communication and get re-anchored to each other and not something else. And if you're not having, if the intimacy isn't deep and the relationship's not rewarding and the fireworks aren't, it's not honeymoon hot like it used to be, it's super easy to say, I'd rather find something else, or I want something that's going to give me what I'm not getting. The mature thing, the commitment thing, is to say, you know what? We got to get re-anchored back to each other and have the communication, get the bonds there, and just, and there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't feel real close to you right now. Or, man, I feel like we're drifting. Why is that happening? Or what can we do to get centered back and focused on each other? Because that's where I want to be and I like to be. So there's definitely intentionality of it. And whatever you're anchored to, that's what you're going to spend your time on. That's where the satisfaction is going to come from. So to keep that commitment strong, life changes. You know what? Jobs, kids, family pressures, dynamic, our health, our physical well-being, our spirituality. So many things change, but we have to keep coming back and re-anchoring and refocusing on the person that's number one.
I want to ask you about that re-anchoring, and you gave a few examples there, but what does that conversation look like? And what are some tools that maybe you guys use to re-anchor and get back on track?
So I think, you know, you and I spoke a little bit about this in the pre-show, appreciation, right? I'm really committed to appreciating and showing gratitude to my wife, right? And the truth of the matter is, Chase, you can't feel angry or upset or ungrateful or even fearful when you're expressing gratitude and appreciation. You can't feel angry and happy at the same time, right? It's like one of those things that's occupying your space. And the biggest lifeblood and oxygen you can give to someone you care about is recognizing their goodness and appreciating it. So it might be an attribute. Oh my gosh, I love the way you just spoke to our son. You totally diffused that tantrum. You didn't get angry. You handled that masterfully. Thank you so much for getting him in a better space with how you handle that. I love that about you, right? Or it could be telling them what you're grateful for. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for taking care of dinner the last couple of nights. I've been swamped at work. I didn't have time. The last thing I know was my turn, but the last thing I wanted to think about, right? So expressing gratitude and appreciation is a great way to anchor, because I'm identifying what's good, I'm magnifying it, and I'm letting my partner know how I feel about them. And, you know, the cool thing about appreciation and gratitude is it's one of the few unlimited currencies we have. Doesn't cost you anything. You never run out of it. And if you work and committed to it, I can look at my spouse, my partner, and man, I can express gratitude or appreciation about a number of things about her. And if I'm not doing it at least once a day, 10 times a week, right? That's the minimum. Then that's where some of that resentment comes in. And they start writing stories in their head about what they think is true because you're not telling them what you know is true.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
I love that gratitude practice, and it is a practice, and certainly showing appreciation and gratitude for your partner. But I find just in other aspects of life, it just, like you said, it's hard, if not impossible, to be grateful and angry at the same time. So for bringing that to our relationship and in other aspects, it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to do.
It is.
So let's go forward to communication. As long as there's nothing, I mean, I think we covered a lot of great stuff with commitment. If there's anything else you want to highlight before we go to communication, that's fine. But then let's dive into communication and some of the things that you find super helpful in helping couples around this very important area.
Sure. No, communication is so important. And I think intentionality is huge on communication. And it may sound silly, but I coach people, couples, I say calendar, you know, make appointments with your spouse, whether, hey, we're going to get together at 5:30 every day, or, you know, we're going to get together at such and such a time in the morning while we're having a cup of coffee. It's quiet during our Bible study, whatever it is, you've got to set time aside to have communication. I know it sounds silly because there's check-in communication. Hey, where are you today? Where am I? You know, the dogs, the kids, work, you know, that commitment tonight, church, whatever it is. That's not really communication. I mean, it is, and it's tactical, but communication is checking in. And it can happen. It could be a text. It could be a phone call. It could be a sit down. You know, people have, you know, some of the people we've interviewed on the podcast, they go, we have the Edith and Archie chairs, you know, the lazy boys. And we make sure that we have coffee in those chairs for half an hour every day. And we just touch base. You know, what's going on in work? How's your headspace right now? I know you had that tough conversation with your mom. How are you feeling about that? Right. And it's not about solving, you know, men, a huge thing for guys. We want to jump in and save the day, rescue the dog, you know, slay the dragon and make all the bad things go away. But what women want is to just talk and connect. And women use, you know, 10 times more words than men do. And you just got to be a good listener, because if they want your help, they're going to say, I need your help. Or if they're going to go, oh, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. It's let them tell their story. And it's really about sharing those moments and having connections. And so if you're busy and you know, that could be a social count, just because you're out together at a party or an event with somebody doesn't mean you're communicating. You know, proximity does not equal communication. And I really encourage couples to have activities together that allow the connection. One of the favorite things that my wife and I do, we have some of the best communication, is we ruck. We put weighted backpacks on our back and we go for fast hikes, right? And your body's doing something, you're engaged. So you're kind of doing something that's good for you, but you know, there's no phones out, there's no TV, there's no kids, there's no other people. And it's an hour and 15 minutes of talking about whatever. And it's a great time to ask some of those anchoring questions, you know, like, for example, hey, what's one of the things I did that made you smile this week? Or what is, you know, this is my favorite question on communication you to ask your partners, is to say, what is the greatest thing I can support you with right now? What's your number one need? What is just occupying all the space in your brain right now that you just can't get away from? How can I best support you where you are right now? And you might get, oh, you're already doing it, or, oh, I'm so glad you asked, you know, pray for me, or take this task, or man, could you take the kids to school this week? And I've got this here, or can you help me figure out how to do this, or whatever it is. But at all times, you should know what's the best way you could be supporting your partner. Because it changes. It could change day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. You know, there was a time when my wife was in the president of the parents club in our school for 1,250 kids. She had 55 events in 7 months, and it was crazy. I didn't see her a lot, but I was glad she was doing it. She wanted to do it. She probably did it better than anybody done it in a long time. And I asked that question a lot, and I said, you know, and I remember hearing her say one night, I'm so tired because I'm not getting enough sleep because I got to get up early, get what I have to. I would love just to have some more sleep. And she had agreed to take the kids to school the next day. I turned the alarm off. I let her sleep in. I took the kids to school. I fed breakfast. I took care of the dogs. And then later she's like, oh my gosh, why'd you do that? And I said, because I know you needed some more sleep, right? So I was aware and in touch and willing to provide those things. And that's a great example of communication, I think. And, you know, are you aware at all times, what's your partner's number one need? And then ask them, or just do your best to fulfill it.
I love questions and prompts like that, because it's such a beautiful way to feel like your partner cares and to connect and to kind of like get out of the routine, because so often a conversation might be about work or kids and at life, you know, and life gets busy. But like these questions of like, hey, what's giving you the most trouble these days? What's going on? It kind of like breaks that and, you know, makes your partner feel special of like, oh, you're thinking about me. Or, you know, the other one of, what's one thing I did this week that felt good to you? I mean, it could be anything, and a super tiny thing. It's so beautiful to be able to do that and break up the monotony, or whatever you want to call it, the busyness of life, and really get into a deeper conversation fast with a good question.
Yeah, there's something called sliding door moments. And if you think of that, they appear to you all throughout the day. That means the door opens where your spouse is asking you a question, or even from them, you know, you're in one room and they're in the other room. They go, oh my gosh, I can't believe we got another rainy day, right? You could go, oh yeah, it's raining. I hate rain, whatever, and say nothing. Or you could say, oh my gosh, I wish we just had some sunshine so we could go out and do something fun together, right? So a sliding door moment is when they're opening the door and inviting you in, and you had to choose to walk through that door as often as you can. Otherwise, you're missing a point for connection. And that's the key thing about communication, is having it, right? And taking advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves, instead of staying fixed on the show, the football game, you know, doom scrolling on your phone for Instagram or YouTube, or, you know, reading a book or whatever it may be. But showing them they matter and connecting and focusing and really having those opportunities for great connections.
So I don't know what the last C is. We didn't talk about it in the pre-show. Is it connection?
Conflict or problem resolution.
That's right. No, we did mention that. And I want to move to that and touch on that briefly before we finish up here. So what are some of the main things that help couples with conflict and conflict resolution?
So there's a great stat that I've repeated many times, and that is that 2/3 of all problems in a relationship are perpetual, meaning you are never going to solve 2/3 of the issues that you have together. So you're like, shoot, that means 2 out of every 3 go unsolved. What the heck do we do? So my advice is, you got to look for understanding, right? So if my wife is upset about something, I got to say, tell me what, and I'm like, this is stupid. You can't go, you know, first of all, everybody has the right to feel the way they feel. So if she feels that way, it's incredibly real to her. I can't minimize it, say it doesn't exist, say it's illegitimate, or not allow her to have the right to feel that way. What I can say is, what's the dream within the conflict? Why is this so important to you? Why has this got you so worked up? Or why does it strike a raw nerve? Or how come it gets you? Please help me understand why it gets you so upset, right? So understanding is huge, because we don't have to agree. A lot of people think that if I don't always agree with my partner, my spouse, that's not a good thing. My wife and I disagree on a lot of things, but we've reached understanding why we each feel the way we feel. Because if I can put myself in her shoes and empathetically feel how she feels, then I go, ooh, you know, if she says something that's just making her on fire, I can go, wow, I can see you're really upset about that. That's not a great place to be. Help me understand how you feel that way. What is it that happened that brought you here? And what do you think the key is to get out of that, so you don't have to hang out in that nasty space for so long? So understanding is huge. And, you know, and like I said, not giving an answer, but, you know, just being in it with them. Pull up next to them, shoulder to shoulder. Man, it really stinks to feel that way. Or I know you're not happy right now, and I'm here. I'm with you, and I'm supporting you.
Asking questions, again, is kind of beautiful. And we're going to have disagreements. And you just mentioned, it's like, well, what's going on for you? What's making you so upset here? I can see that you're really upset, and I want to try to understand you. I think just hearing that, and easier said than done, if we have our own stance that's counter to our partner's, which is going to happen. That's what makes relationships interesting. It's not agreeing all the time, but learning to, you know, have conflict better, right? It's not avoiding conflict, as you said.
Yeah. Fighting fair. I mean, you know, you don't want to, if this is the person you love, and hopefully it is, right, that you want to be with, you don't want to do anything that is going to debase, demoralize, or lessen them. It's not about winning. You know, before you're married, it's I and you. Once you get married, it's us. And if it's a win for us, each person in that partnership wins. So you got to give up the idea of winning and losing. Just because my opinion wins the day, does that make me right? Not, you know, by hurting my partner or defeating my partner in an argument, but, you know, it's win-lose thinking is, you know, there's always a loser. And if it's going to be win-win and right for us, that's huge when there's conflict. And I think people, Chase, get it wrong where they think conflict is bad. reframe. And what I like to tell people is conflict is an invitation to connection. Your partner, your spouse is saying, I'm out of whack and something has got me. It might be you. You may have gotten them sideways by doing or not doing something, but it's an invitation to connect. If you look at it as an invitation and accept it in a calm, loving way and avoid those landmines. If you know your partner, man, they just can't stand your parents because they've said or done some nasty things to them. If that's a landmine, don't step in the landmine. Well, you know, why would you want someone you love to jump on a landmine that's going to explode and cause all kind of carnage? You wouldn't want to do that. So lovingly avoid the landmines so you don't have to go there and or trigger them and do things that get them in that negative space.
Well, Matthew, I think we covered a lot in just over 30 minutes. I've really enjoyed this conversation around commitment, communication, and conflict resolution. All super valuable stuff with some actionable tips. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online? And if there's anything that we skipped over or maybe something you want to emphasize, and then we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, my pleasure. Well, you can find us at Kickass Couples Nation. We are on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Those are the platforms that we are on. We do KCN Nooners every Tuesday. We're live 30 minutes every Tuesday on most of those platforms. You can find out more about us and Kickass Couples Nation at MatthewPHoffman.com. And if anybody needs help with any of the things that we've talked about, we have KCN, Kickass Couples Coaching, because we want to help couples overcome the obstacles and attain that dream relationship where they'd like to have, where it's honeymoon hot every day.
Awesome. Well, we'll have those links in our show notes and on our website at idopodcast.com. And Matthew, thanks for taking the time to come on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Loved our time.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.